Welcome to the world of the art on the Rheindom. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that, well, requires a couple of hours of really close attention. You don't even have to whisper. But it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures on board. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Rheindom today and show you some of those art treasures. They have been selected exclusively for the Rheindom by Holland America Line. Let's begin the tour right here in the Explorations Cafe. Have a seat and get comfortable in one of those plush leather lounges or chairs while we explain a little about the tour.
First, a little background. Art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea, and it's worth many millions of dollars. As you'll see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques as well as contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Cruz, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Think of this cruise as a visit to a great estate that has some wonderful works of art in it. You might see a piece you really like on your way to dinner or the lounge. Here you can live with it and really begin to appreciate it during your cruise. And on this art tour, we'll give you an introduction to some of the works and some background that will help you to enjoy them all the more.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of each of the Holland America Line ships, and he's incorporated art and antiques into the decor. Everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors, are meant to be a part of the whole look and feel of the ship, and the art is here to enhance the cruise experience.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
Dingemans incorporates certain themes into each ship. Here on the Rheindom, one theme has to do with the treasures collected by the merchants of the Dutch East India Company. In the 1600s, they sailed from Holland to the farthest reaches of the globe and brought back treasures. You'll see some here as we tour the ship.
And the artwork you'll see on board will be something you'll remember for years to come. One of Holland America's captains, Jan Schmidt, shared this with us.
Almost on a daily basis, I get comments about how they enjoy the art on the ship and how these ships in Holland America Line are a lot different from ships in other companies just because of the art. So yes, definitely we're getting a lot of positive comments about them.
Now before we begin, just a word about your iPods. You'll find helpful directions on the back. And also, feel free to pause your iPod at the end of some of the chapters and at any time during the tour. This will give yourself some more time to get to the location of the next artwork, or if you'd like more time to admire something. Coming up, you'll be on Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, Explorations Cafe, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck. Let's begin the tour right outside the Explorations Cafe near the aft elevator lobby on the port side. That's the left side of the ship when you're facing forward. When you come out of the cafe, turn to the right. You'll notice a remarkable painting by modern Dutch artist Matthias Rawling. Although this was done in 1994, it combines the feeling of the past with a contemporary sensibility.
Now, let's head aft until you get to the entrance to the Rotterdam dining room. When you're dining here, notice the colorful ceiling, which has Venetian glass lighting fixtures shaped like flowers. Also note the lanterns that look like they belong in 16th century Venice. In fact, that's the inspiration for the design, actual lanterns that were used throughout Venice during that period.
And on the lower level of the dining room, at the back of the room, you will find two murals by modern Dutch artist Hetty Berenbrugspot. Well, that's easy for me to say. Well, they are titled The Golden Age Revisited 1 and 2. They're a modern adaptation of classic artistic themes of heroic figures from the period of global Dutch exploration. It's sort of a contemporary take on an old Dutch master painting. Now, these aren't meant to portray specific people, but rather they represent the spirit of those explorers. Berenbrugspot lives in Amsterdam, and she has a studio right on the canal. It's filled with light. She collects pieces of sculpture during her travels, and pieces of columns and fragments of marble from antiquity fill her studio. She uses those as inspiration in her work. Chapter 3, Aft Stairway, Deck 8, the Upper Promenade Deck, Starboard.
In the aft stairway, on the starboard side of the ship, in front of the Rotterdam dining room, you'll see another large painting by Matthias Rolling. It's titled Holland's Glory, but it poses several questions. Just what is Holland's glory? The people, the windmills, or its marvelous architecture?
What about Dutch hot chocolate? That would be one of my votes for Holland's glory. One of Holland's glories just might be Holland-America Line. Now let's walk forward along the starboard or right side of the ship, as you're facing toward the front. Notice the display case. It's a very elegant 18th century dining service. Notice the precise and exquisite detail on the plates. Just imagine the candlelit dinners that were served on those plates.
And notice the tapestry behind it. It's woven in wool and decorated with a bird flying in midair amongst a forest of trees. That kind of detail is amazing, and it's a great example of Belgian tapestry from the early 17th century. Do you know that tapestry served not only as a wall covering, but a form of insulation? Covering those cold stone walls in the castle made things just a little warmer, or at least it seemed so.
Chapter 4, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Explorer's Lounge. Continue walking forward. As we come to the Explorer's Lounge, you can't miss this massive oil painting celebrating ships. It's a replica of Van de Velde's Ships Calm on the Water. Well, actually, it's more like an adaptation. Dingemans had the artist look at the original painting and take the ships from it for this piece, which captures the golden age of Dutch sailing and shipping. You know, maritime art like this serves a valuable function for scholars. Fritz Lohmeyer is executive director of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam. It's considered one of the best in the world, and he's very familiar with the art aboard Holland America ships.
But from the view of a curator, a museum's curator, it is the historical context, really. People nowadays can enjoy it, and they can see if they really look, and that you have to learn, perhaps, what is the difference between real art quality or real ship models and remakes. Well, it is again a source of knowledge, and it gives you not only a picture, but a feeling, and if you are really interested in understanding of what maritime life is. Paintings, drawings, etches are one of the main sources for historical research of 17th century earlier shipping, because we don't have so many written sources, and we certainly don't have many ship models.
Also in the Explorer's Lounge is an elaborate table with a green marble top. The wood has been gilded and restored to the standards of a great museum.
And while it was made in Italy, well, the table was actually patterned in the style of Louis XV. It was very fashionable at the time.
Another painting here in the Explorer's Lounge is called Ships at Sea. It's from the 19th century. The sense of motion in the depiction of ships tossed by the waves creates a real sense of drama. This type of maritime scene was a favorite subject for Dutch artists in the 19th century, and it provides a glimpse into the history of what voyages were like on those old wooden sailing ships.
And before you leave the Explorer's Lounge, take a moment to look at the highly carved black wood cabinet on your right. It depicts scenes from the Bible, a common theme for the time.
And look at the detail in the carving. You could stand for hours and study the detail of this cabinet.
Okay, heading forward on the starboard side, through the Explorer's Lounge, you'll find a display case of cabinets. Much of the art on the Rheindam evolves around the idea of collecting and collections, and these cabinets were originally built to house those various collections. And if you look at the list of art included here, you can see that these are filled with works of art spanning more than 300 years.
The Chinese cabinets themselves are beautiful in their detail and workmanship. Many coats of lacquer have been applied by hand and each carefully polished to achieve this final rich finish.
It's such an enormous process just to collect and produce the lacquer, much less apply it by hand. Before commercially produced lacquer finishes, highly skilled workers collected the raw lacquer from trees and turned it into the material used here. Today, there are only a handful of people making lacquer in this way. And notice that even the shelves are works of art.
I especially like the small figure in white porcelain of the dancer. I think it really captures the feeling of dance. It's such a delicate piece of art.
And on the other side is a highly carved wood cabinet depicting scenes from the Bible. It's a common theme for the time.
And look at the detail in the carving. You could stand for hours and just study the detail of this cabinet.
And also, notice the items that are placed around it. You can see the mind of the collector at work. These small pieces were obviously valued very much. From the Delft from 18th century to the silver-mounted Nautilus cup from the 19th century. Why, there's even a pocket watch made in 1770. And also, notice the marvelous shipbuilder's model. Note the rigging and the incredible detail. That was important for shipbuilders as they often commissioned and referred to such models in the course of building their fleets. I guess they built a model and then said, build me another one.
Sounds good to me. And you know, these display cases you see on the ship have something of a story behind them as well. Roy von Binsbergen is in charge of art installation, and he works on all the displays of art and artifacts on the ship.
Absolutely. Yes, we use a lot of showcases to protect the artworks, but you can't have any air movement inside or temperature rise. So we use fiber optics inside to keep the temperature low.
And VFD was one of the pioneers in doing this. I mean, now it's being adopted by museums all over the world.
That's right. I remember when we started, it was quite totally new, and we had a lot of people in our office to tell what was so special about the fiber optics. But after a while, it turned out that we knew more than they did, actually. And we started using it, and then now you see it anywhere. But I think we were one of the first to do it, yes.
And of course, Roy reminds us that ships move, museums don't.
But it's also, a ship is on a very, can be on high seas, so which you don't have in museums. So that's an extra effort I think we put into it. And it took us quite a while to find methods of mounting artworks without actually ruining them or just, like you said, screwing right through them in the floor. It takes us a long time. That's why we usually have something like 1.5 year preparations to get all the artworks changed and made special pedestals and that sort of things to actually mount them on the ship in a way that nobody can see it and that the artworks are not ruined in one or another way.
Well, that answers some of the questions I have when I look at these collections.
And it's amazing that you can't see where or even how each piece is being held in place. It really does preserve the presentation of each piece of art.
Well, heading forward again, you'll see some sailing charts on the wall dating from 1750. There's a map of Spain and Portugal, and nearby is a finely painted, very heavy iron chest. It's a strong box with huge locks. These strong boxes were often used on sailing ships, and they held cash and valuables. They were often bolted to the floor in the captain's cabin or deep in the hold of the ship. But you know, I think it's fun to imagine what was inside. Pearls, gold, Spanish doubloons, or maybe something not quite so glamorous. Chapter 5, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships.
But remember that we told you the ship is designed like a work of art? On our walk, we've seen Asian art and antiques, along with some striking modern Asian works. While that's been a theme for the moment, you'll see as we go along that themes change and evolve. And just ahead, we're headed into the future.
Because here, as you're walking forward on the starboard side of the ship, on your left is Mix. The sleek sophistication of this clubby room makes it a pleasant place to hang out. You know, a place to enjoy a drink with friends and listen to music and check out the cool chairs. However, Another highlight of Mix are the tables situated around the room. They are actually computers, or more accurately, computing surfaces. In fact, they're called Microsoft Surface.
Hey, this is totally cool. See, if you pretend to dip your hands in the water that plays over the surface of the screen, it actually moves, as if you're actually putting your hand in it. This might just be the artistic surface of the 21st century. And, you know, Mix is one of the first places you can try this out.
Wow! Just touch the screen and you can play chess and a bunch of other games. I want to see the water move again. Oh, this is amazing!
Okay, let's stop playing in the water. We've got lots more to discover here aboard the Rheindamm.
Oh, well, if you insist. Okay, now coming out of Mix and heading forward, you'll see the casino on the left and the shops on the right. Now let's continue forward from the shops here. And as you move about the ship, always be on the lookout for the small details of its design that are in and of themselves works of art. It's also important to remember to look down to see how intricate the inlaid floors can be. And, of course, look up. Remember the Venetian glass flowered lights in the Rotterdam dining room? Chapter 6, Deck 8 of a Promenade Deck, Atrium.
Now we're approaching the atrium, and remember that we're still on Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck. And here, at the atrium, you can get a great view of the fountain sculpture that forms the atrium's centerpiece. It shows fanciful dolphins and sea creatures above a boat.
Dingemans told us that he designed the sculpture to look like a weathered fountain you might find in Rome. Dingemans designed the fountain, and the sculpture was executed by Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Rogère. They're artists who are husband and wife, and they live and work in Italy.
We visited them, along with Dingemans, in their studio near Pisa when they were making this piece. They were adjusting the mouth of the dolphin to get just the right flow of water. They've created works of art for all of the Holland America Line ships, and what I find interesting is that their lives are filled with art, and not only just in their work.
I think the presence of art in the Holland American ship is absolutely unique for what I know on the cruise ship. First of all, I have been always surprised by the quality, the originality of the pieces that are present on the ship. You get some real collections element, and you can just do a tour just like on a museum.
Now continue along the starboard side of the atrium to the ocean bar. There's more art to see on the Rheindamm, and that includes this very detailed French man-of-war model made by prisoners in Great Britain. It's made of bone and is highly detailed and dates from the early 19th century. Prisoners made these to be sold for very small amounts. Today they are extremely valuable and very rare.
Now to the left of the model is a carved wooden rudder head. These were used to adorn various boats, purely for decoration.
Forward, also on the starboard side of the ship and towards the showroom at sea, you'll see a ship model of a Frisian yacht entitled On the Zuider Zee. It's from the 19th century and would have been decorated with carvings just like that rudder head. It certainly has a traditional Dutch feeling to it. After admiring the Frisian yacht, turn your attention to the elevator lobby. You'll have another opportunity to look up.
See that decorated ceiling? Well, that's what we mean about Dingemans creating a complete artistic environment on board the Rheindamm.
But just before you come to the showroom at sea, there's a very interesting display of antique serving pieces made of pewter and brass from the 17th to the 19th centuries. It's yet another homage to collecting.
Chapter 7, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Forward Staircase.
In the forward staircase on each landing, you'll notice a large marine painting. They're oils and painted by one of the world's leading marine painters, Captain Stephen J. Card. For each new Holland America ship, Card creates a collection of paintings. They typically depict the new vessel as well as earlier Holland America ships that bore the same or similar names. In fact, all of Card's paintings for Holland America can be found in his book, Holland America Line, The Spotless Fleet.
Two previous Holland America ships carried the Rheindamm name, and each of the paintings is meticulously detailed and accurate for its time.
Fritz Lohmeyer of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam has some perspective on this art.
And now you see, for instance, the historical paintings of Stephen Card. Beautifully done, precisely picturing the historical ships of the Holland-America line, looking back to the history of the company. And in the post-war period, when Europe had to be built up again, people were not looking back, they were looking forward. That's the difference between the 1950s and the era we are living in now. But it, in both cases, it says a lot about how we are and what our perspective is.
Card told us that each painting he does is like visiting an old friend. He grew up in the 60s in Bermuda, and he saw all the classic Holland America Line ships as they called there. Well, being in Bermuda is what got Card his start as a marine painter. He grew up with a love of the sea, and he was a navigator, sea captain, and harbor master. Then one day in 1984, when Card was home in Bermuda, he received a call from Nico van der Vorm. He was then chairman of Holland America Line. Van der Vorm had seen one of Card's paintings, and he asked him if he'd be interested in painting pictures of the 1980s era Holland America ships. Well, Stephen Card soon learned that his maritime background helped his new endeavor. "I have a knowledge of the sea and of how ships operate," he says, "and that enables me to create accurate paintings of the ships." His paintings hang in the collections of several museums and on all the Holland America Line ships.
Well, now let's head down the forward staircase and see some of these marvelous Card paintings in this, well, what we call a vertical art gallery. You can take the elevator and get off at each floor if that's easier. What you'll find on deck 8 as you look up is a picture of the current Rheindamm. Captain Card's paintings do capture the romance of the sea.
Now further down on deck 7 is a depiction of the Rheindamm II sailing in New York's Upper Bay in the summer of 1953. Card has put the Staten Island Ferry in the painting and an Italian liner, and he's painted them as they would have looked in that time.
And finally, on deck 6, well, we see the original Rheindamm as she looked sailing from 1901 to 1929. And in this painting, she's seen picking up speed, leaving Plymouth, and heading for the English Channel. Notice in the background, there's a square rigger. They were still sailing at that time.
Chapter 8, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 6, Forward. As you reach the bottom of the forward stairway on deck 6, you can get a different view of the atrium fountain, and you can really appreciate the scale and the detail of the work from this perspective.
Now, the lower lobby here on deck 6 is also well worth exploring. The first thing you'll notice is the wonderful model of the Rheindamm II, built by an amateur modeler in 1952. We've found that there's actually a tremendous interest in the history of Holland America in Holland and elsewhere in the world among collectors.
On deck 6, there's also a display case containing a ship model of the fishing schooner Guillaume, which was made in the Netherlands.
And in another display case is a collection of nautical instruments. I like the miniature wooden table globe from the late 19th century. And there are some really interesting tools called spandrels and neck pins. Well, they were used for repairing nets aboard fishing boats.
For our next chapter, we're going to take the elevators or the stairs all the way up to the Lido deck, deck 11. So place your iPods on pause, and we'll meet again at the forward end of the Lido deck pool for our next chapter. Chapter 9, Lido deck, deck 11.
Let's go out to the pool here on deck 11, and we'll show you something that's exclusive to Holland America. Go to the bronze dolphins leaping from the end of the pool. You can't miss them since they're over 10 feet high and weigh around 2 tons. Now, how many dolphins do you see?
Well, you might want to answer 5. But Susanna Holt, the sculptor, has fooled us all, because in reality, there's only one. Susanna told us that the work actually represents the various movements of just one dolphin as it leaps through the air. Now, she spent months watching dolphins to get just the right feeling in the work.
Notice the silvery gray finish on the bronze. It's put on in the foundry as the last step before the work is finished. Susanna used silver nitrate in the finish here to get just the right effect on this work.
You've probably seen Holst dolphins, as well as bears and even some penguins, if you've traveled on other Holland America Line ships. She loves animals, and she's recognized as one of the finest sculptors working with animals in the world today.
For her, dolphins are perfect for the ship. They travel and explore the world with a smile. What I find interesting, though, is how she does the work.
First of all, I start with my imagination. I have to study the animal in the wild as much as it's possible to do. And then I produce drawings from those ideas, and then I develop a tiny model in wax on flexible wire support, and that I can manipulate easily, so I can get the flow and the movement of the animal at that stage, which is easy to pull around. When I have the movement and the flow I'm after, then I make a quarter life size, and every detail at that stage has to be perfect, because you don't change a whole lot from that stand. We then make a rubber mold from this model, and then plaster castings from the mold. And then from these plaster castings, we do the enlargement to life size. Then we make more rubber molds of the life size section. This takes a lot of time. The bronze can only be 3/8 of an inch thick, or the sculpture would distort and be too heavy. So we then chip away the ceramic shell and weld all the pieces together, heads, flukes, flippers, and so on.
You have many months of actual work involved in this, don't you?
Many months. And within the internal part of the dolphin, there is a very complex pattern of steel support that supports the extreme cantilever and the weight. So the enlargement of the molds themselves take approximately 5 months, and the casting is about the same. So it requires me to have studied the dolphin well in advance.
After contemplating the leaping dolphin, continue toward the aft part of the ship. You'll pass some very colorful couches at the other end of the pool. They're by Dutch artist Jan Schnook. Now, they're art, but they're functional art. You can actually lie down on them and enjoy the atmosphere here at the Lido pool.
Let's walk further aft, and you'll see some smiling figures near the Lido bar. They're also done by Jan Schnook. I think of them as people who look like they're discussing matters of great import, well, perhaps over a martini.
Perhaps. Well, now let's head over to the Lido restaurant. For our next chapter, we'll meet you in front of King Neptune. Chapter 10. Lido Restaurant, Lido Deck, Deck 11, aft.
Inside the Lido restaurant on the starboard side is our very own statue of King Neptune. Now, it's a wooden figurehead designed by sculptor Martin Robert. It's extremely elaborate, and, well, you can see that it could easily adorn the bow of a very important ship.
For our next chapter, meet us at the aft end of the Lido restaurant. There, we'll see some more art by Jan Schnook. So pause your iPods. We'll meet you there. Chapter 11. Lido Deck, Deck 11, aft.
Here at the back of the Lido restaurant are large wall ceramics done by Jan Schnook. Note the interplay of color, shape, and form in these ceramic pieces. They seem to be cut apart and then placed together again. The shapes are very deliberate.
He has other ceramic wall works on the other side of the Lido restaurant. But look up the stairwell and you're in for a real surprise. It's a carpet, or a piece of textile art, created by Jan Schnook. You know, I think it's impossible to look at a work of art by Jan Schnook and not feel happy. He's over 80 years old, but he still expresses such a sense of fun and a joy of living in his work.
Now turn around, and in the elevator lobby, silhouetted against the glass, is a rare ship model dating from 1666. It's of the Golden Lou, a man of war with 80 guns built for the Admiralty of Amsterdam. Such models are often produced to show the buyers what they were getting.
Chapter 12. Upper Promenade Deck, Deck 8, aft. Well, it's time to start heading back to the Exploration Cafe. So we'll take the elevator or stairs down to the Upper Promenade Deck, Deck 8. On your right will be the Rotterdam Dining Room. We'll meet you there for one last look at some very interesting art. So pause your iPod until you get down to Deck 8, aft.
Okay, here in the elevator lobby in front of the Rotterdam Dining Room, we're going to walk forward, turn left, and notice the display cabinet on your right.
It's a detailed view of calligraphy dating back to 1595. Quill pen, inkwell, portable writing desk, a real treasure for someone interested in late 16th century literature and writing. See the brass chandelier with wax candles? I can just imagine it lighting the writer's view as he puts the quill pen to ink. You know, that's where the term penknife came from. Everyone had them to help fashion the points on quill pens.
Well, now it's time to head back to the Explorations Cafe to turn in your tour, if you borrowed one.
We've really enjoyed spending this time with you and enjoying the art on the Rheindamm. We've tried to give you a sense of how extensive the collection is and how much fun it can be to explore it.
And to give you a little something to remember as you continue your cruise, here's some homework. Yes, I did say homework, but we promise it will be fun. If you want to explore on your own, here are some things to look for. A painting with an Indonesian procession and a model of a square rigger. Well, you get the idea. Just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lassley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.